The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm back today with the magazine's food and dining editor, Jane Marion. Hey, Jane.
Yeah, we'll see.
I love that line. We got to keep it going. How are you doing this week?
I'm good. My husband's in the air for Tokyo right now.
His trip. I know we've been talking about this for weeks.
Yeah, he had a business trip for 2 weeks. He's going to Tokyo and a place called Nagoya and Kyoto. But it's sort of funny, about an hour ago, he sent me, he's flying Nippon Air, and so they have a, you know, bilingual menu, and they have Western offerings, and then Japanese offerings.
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, so some of the Japanese offerings I'm reading actually from the menu, it's pretty ambitious. They have baked eel with a tozazu jelly.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong. Button mushrooms, cucumber, and zucchini. That's one of the starters.
Wow.
Another one is turbo with burdock root, which honestly I think is used when you're constipated.
Oh my God.
So I definitely would avoid that. Carrot, pea pod, and dashi. That's all one. And then baked lobster with edamame, egg sauce, red bean jello, cucumber with miso paste, squid and salmon roll, stuffed with cream cheese, and duck meatball. That's all one thing.
Wow.
On an airplane.
Yeah, I don't think, because I know we've talked about this before. I'm like a really nervous flyer, so I feel like I can't really eat that heavily on a plane, but it's just interesting.
Well, you know, it's good because he's a physician and he's traveling with doctors, so should somebody order that and need it, you know, need the service, that's right. There.
Yeah, he's with the correct
people.
I'm
curious what he's getting. I told him to get the eel.
Oh my gosh, it's just so interesting. I'm glad that he sent you that menu so that we could talk about that. Because it's just like, I don't know, I feel like international flights, there's always just these really interesting options that, you know, you wouldn't even think about. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of cool. Like, I remember I've shared with you, we went to Thailand.
Uh-huh.
And it's sort of like the minute, it's almost like the embassy in D.C. when you're at the Thai embassy, you basically are in Thailand.
Right.
You're on Thai soil when you're just right beyond the gate. But it's sort of like that with the airlines as well. Well, the minute you step foot on, you know, on the airplane, it's almost like you are in Thailand or you are in Tokyo. And you know, most of the staff or many of the staff usually are from the country of origin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun.
It's a good taste of what you'll get.
Yeah, it's kind of a transition.
I like that.
On the tarmac.
That's so cool. Well, I can't wait to hear about how his trip goes. It sounds like it's going to be hopefully a lot of fun and work mixed together.
Absolutely. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like ever since Memorial Day, it's just been like go, go, go around here. We've all been so busy, you know, getting ready for summer coverage. And
lots of summer openings too, right? Memorial Day. That's
the date
everybody wants to
beat. Yeah, for sure. And speaking of, we can get right into our food news. So I remember we talked about the Wind-Up Space a couple weeks ago. A lot of people in the arts community and also in the food community were really, really sad to hear of its closure. And it's exciting that this week we actually found out that it's being revived. It's going to be rebranded by someone named Emil Joseph Weeks. He is an industry veteran. He has bartended everywhere from Pen and Quill to Parts and Labor to Ida B's. And he's taking it over, which is so reassuring to hear. I feel like these last couple of weeks, people have just been, you know, really contemplating what this scene is going to be like without it. But now we don't have to do that because he's come in. And so it seems like the ethos of the space is really going to remain the same. It's going to be an inclusive arts venue as it always has been. But he is making a couple of interior upgrades, which I think is always nice. And, you know, given his background bartending, I think it's really great. He's planning to upgrade the cocktail menu a little bit with some classics. So things like old fashions and martinis and boilermakers. So it kind of feels like very much like a new chapter for the wind-up space. I think that, you know, it seems like it's in really, really great hands. And the plan for now is he's planning to give people a sneak peek for Pride Weekend coming up. And also, during Artscape Weekend when Station North is just very abuzz with all of that energy. Yeah. So there'll be times to kind of get in and meet him and see the space. But then I think the slated kind of grand opening isn't going to happen until September. But
yeah, both, it sounds like they're going to get a new audience too.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I know that there's still going to be a lot of people who frequented the wind-up space forever that I'm sure will, you know, flock back there just because the space means so much to so many people. But hopefully it can kind of foster in a new generation as well. And, you
2.0.
know,
that's 2.0. A happy ending. What's it been, like 3 weeks?
It's been like 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
So there definitely was, you know, a time, I think, to mourn. And then, you know, it's
nice. I feel
like
that happens around here, too. Yeah. Especially the elephant. I can't keep track anymore.
That was a roller coaster.
I think they're just open for catering.
They're back open.
They're back open. Okay.
But that was exactly. It's like if we even are saying to ourselves, "Wow, like we can't follow." But I'm happy. You're right. There have been. It's like this through line of happy endings that we've
been seeing.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. And so I also wanted to talk about Panda Barbecue. This is something when we had Leandro Laguerra on our podcast last week, he was telling us about this new place that's in Mount Vernon. It's on the corner of Preston and Morton Streets. He was raving about it. I cannot wait to get in there. They've been open officially, I think, for about a month. And the focus here is skewered Chinese barbecue. So meats, vegetables, they even have some exotic offerings like goat kidney and vegetarian options like king mushrooms and other fresh vegetables as well. So I think that the skewered barbecue is really kind of the standout on the menu, but they also have, you know, really traditional fare like dumplings and scallion pancakes and fried rice. So I can't wait to get over there.
Yeah, to my knowledge, I don't know if there are any other places like this in the city.
Yeah.
Certainly towards Catonsville, there's Honey Pig and Iron Age. I know you're a fan.
Yeah, definitely.
I know there's some other spots as well out there, but I'm not aware of anything else in the city.
Especially, I think, focusing on the skewers. You know, I think that that's something really new, and especially for Baltimore, it's something, you know, in my tenure at the magazine, I haven't seen.
Is it a bilingual menu? Have you seen
it? It is, yep.
Okay.
I've seen photos of
that's my
in
number
the menu.
One thing, so that's good.
Yeah, and the space seems very, you know, cozy. There's some, like, panda stuffed animals hanging around. Very cute.
Because the name sounds like a mall food court.
Yes.
But I know Leandro, he knows his stuff.
He
so
does.
He wouldn't have raved if he didn't know.
Yeah.
But the name is funny. It's very cute.
It is. And I think that one of the great things is it's also available via Grubhub. So if you're not around Mount Vernon or, you know, you're just looking for your next order in spot, I think it's a great option for that.
You know how you said probably a few months ago at this point that you don't own a cookbook?
Yes.
I've never ordered on Grubhub.
Oh, man. Well,
it's my version.
I think that.
Have you? I'm assuming you have.
I think that it comes in handy. I have to say, it's problematic in many ways. There's a lot of people who, you know, talk about, like, especially from the restaurant owner perspective, like, I think that there's kind of this disconnect of, like, how much money they're actually bringing in.
Right.
And so there have been a lot of issues surrounding it. But, I mean, I think, you know, those services like Uber Eats and Grubhub, it gets the job done when you really just, like, don't feel like leaving your house.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about this, too. Like, a lot of restaurant owners, I think, are now being thoughtful about the way that they're packaging things.
Sure.
Just to make sure that, you know, you're not getting a soggy order of French fries.
Right.
Or
they're catering their menus to take out.
Right.
Yeah, which makes sense. Well, when I was growing up, little girl, there was pizza and sometimes Chinese food, but that was it.
And that was it for delivery?
That was it.
Oh, man.
Well, delivery was my dad getting in the Oldsmobile Delta 88 and bringing it home.
I love that. Times definitely have changed. I think Panda Barbecue is it sounds like it's such a wonderful addition to the scene, and we were so thankful for Leandro for mentioning that to us. I can't wait to get there. And so other side of town, so South Baltimore, recently we saw an announcement about Burgerim. This is a burger chain that is national, and it's going to be rounding up the tenant list for Anthem House, which has been open for years. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the official mark of it finally being leased, fully leased, which is great. So this is a gourmet burger chain that focuses on like worldly burgers. So they have things like Spanish beef patties, Hawaiian salmon burgers, Greek lamb burgers, and falafel. So it sounds like kind of an interesting, different take on your classic American burger chain. It is one that offers the classic like milkshake and onion rings. Their french fries actually look really interesting. I've never been there, but they look like kind of like scalloped potatoes, like potato chips almost.
Yeah. Waffle, like a waffle fry?
Yeah, but more like no holes. Like they're filled in. It's just like a circle.
I think it's called a cottage fry.
Oh, you learn something new every day.
They're kind of puffy in the middle. They're delicious.
Yeah, they look really good with some sea salt. I'm sure it'd be amazing.
Yeah, because that surface area really, really allows them to be crisp and hold the salt.
I love that. I love how we're getting like mathematical about
it. For sure. Well, cooking is chemistry.
That's right. So that's expected to join that complex in early 2020. It's going to be joining, of course, Amber and Jazz and Shoju, which have been open for a while. And then they're also expecting in the coming months for there to be a pure raw juice over there and also a new restaurant called Limoncello, which we'll talk more about once that opens.
Oh, I love Limoncello. Yeah. I mean, a burger anything. You know, put burger in the name and people are going to come. It's kind of funny that Hawaiian salmon counts as burger, but, you know, if it's round and on a bun, it's going to do well.
That's right. That fits the criteria. And so speaking of South Baltimore, we also saw a new coffee shop. I feel like we're always talking about
every week you tell me about a new coffee shop.
There's plenty of coffee to go around in Baltimore City. And this one is called Hanover and Hughes Collective. It's actually behind there's a co-working space called Vision in Federal Hill. So it's behind there. It's really cute. It's very cozy and it shares its space with a barber shop, which I think is very cool and innovative. It's a beautiful modern space. They have a green wall. There's very clean white colors and stained wood. And they make use of ceremony coffee in, it's a very classic coffee menu with espresso and Americano. And I've heard that ceremony is getting really close with its location in Cross Street Market as well. So
they're doing so well. And of course, we can walk there from here. And
the Harbor Point.
It's a great space. Do you drink coffee?
I do. Yeah, I'm not a person that's like every morning I have to have my coffee. Mm-hmm. Like today I didn't have any coffee. But, you know, I like, you know, running to Starbucks or getting an iced coffee at one
of
our local places.
Yeah.
Are you a big coffee drinker?
Yeah.
You are? Okay.
Yeah. First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Pretty much. As a kid, I liked my mother called it adult coffee, which of course I loved. Or I'm sorry, she called it children's coffee, but I felt like an adult drinking it. But it was Maxwell House, you know, freeze dried, a teaspoon of that in some warm milk with some sugar.
And
I would
that
have
was
that pretty much every day.
Did you ever serve that to your kids?
No. They went straight to Starbucks.
Right.
Second grade to Starbucks.
Wow. Oh,
I've always had like coffee, ice cream. I like the flavor. And of course, now I'm sort of addicted to the caffeine and I need it to keep going.
Yeah.
But I'm not into coffee drinks. I just like straight coffee.
Yeah. Do you have like a little cream and
just
sugar?
Just a little cream.
Okay. Old school. I love it, Jane. So those were some of the highlights from our Open and Shut column this week, which is always online if anybody wants some more details. And also something that I reported about earlier this week is the revival of the Marble Bar in Mount Vernon. I know we were talking about revivals earlier, but this was a space that the building, it's the old Congress Hotel building. Are you familiar with it? I've been doing so much research about this. I feel like a historian.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah. What was it actually, a hotel for Congress?
It was. Well, I don't know if it was for Congress, but it was a hotel back in the day, and it was connected to two theaters that welcomed people like Charlie Chaplin and Eddie Cantor. Yeah, back in the day. So it's very historic. The building dates back to 1903, and below the actual hotel, which is now apartment building, it's now an apartment unit, is the Marble Bar, which is It was this old, it was a German pub, I think, when the hotel first opened. And then as it kind of grew throughout history, it became a haven for punk rock bands in the 70s and 80s. So I think that that's how most people remember it now. So it's going to be revived by the owners of Mobtown Ballroom and Pigtown, Sarah Sullivan and Michael Seguin. It's a great story. I was talking to Sarah and she was telling me that they were, you know, always kind of on the lookout for their next space and their next venture. And when they saw this one, they just loved it. And she kind of went online and just went down this rabbit hole of looking at the history. And I think, you know, given their roots, you know, owning a music venue, it just seems like it's fitting for them. So they're going to be turning it into an all-day community cafe. It's going to, I think the hours they're shooting for are 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. every day. So, so a place for people to come in and, you know, get their coffee and do some work during the day or later at night. The cocktail program is going to be really strong if people want to go on a date or if they want to just kind of hang out. They think they want it to be very adult-centric. So, but I think that the interesting thing is it's not necessarily going to be another live music venue. I think that they're open to doing like smaller jazz quartets and things like that. Yeah. But as far as the revival of the punk rock theme, I think that might not be as prominent in
the
space.
Well, the Marble Bar does not suggest punk rock. So
it's funny. Well, there is an actual, it's worth noting, an actual Italian marble 72-foot bar. That's what it's named after.
If there wasn't, right? Kind of like the one at the Elephant has a gorgeous,
beautiful,
gorgeous bar.
Yeah.
There's so many beautiful old buildings in Baltimore. It's exciting to, you know, see them come back to life, like the Alexander Brown building.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly the year of the Baltimore fire, but this sounds like maybe it was built right around after the fire.
I think it was 1904 something. But it was interesting for my story. I actually was able to talk to the executive director of the Baltimore Architecture Foundation. And she was saying, too, I kind of was saying, you know, is this a trend of these old buildings being revived? And she just said from their perspective, it's just really such a beautiful thing to see them reactivated in a way that kind of, you know, it opens the door for new generations to make their new memories in these spaces.
You know, Shea Hugo's and that gorgeous old building that was BIC, the Culinary College.
Right.
And that goes back at least 100 years. That's right near Alexander Brown. So it is. It's you walk into these spaces and, you know, the building's kind of dirty from the outside. And then you walk in and the grandeur of the space just takes your breath away.
Right. So the moldings.
Sounds like it's going to be along those lines.
Yeah, definitely. So they're shooting for a fall opening. So we'll definitely be on the lookout for that and, you know, have more details once it gets closer. I've also been reporting a summer drink preview, which I'm excited about. There's definitely lots of trends. I know we've talked about the tiki cocktails.
Yeah.
And frozen cocktails are definitely back. That was something we saw a lot of last summer. So I think we're really lucky to have some new outdoor spots. The places in Canton, Raw Bar, and El Tigre at Broadway Market. I know you've been there a lot recently. So it's been a great week, and I think there's a lot of good seasonal reporting on the coverage for us. But what have you been up to?
Well, admittedly, I was drinking at Clavel last night. I can't help myself.
That is never a bad thing.
You know, I always stick to the margaritas. They did have a few new drinks, and I did try some of the new ceviche over there, including one that I love with sea bass. That was just amazing.
That sounds great.
They've added a few more fish dishes to the menu. I'm a huge fan of fish. But at work, I've been working on Best of Baltimore.
Yeah, so exciting.
As I know you have as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, writing it, editing it, just getting ready. It's, you know, certainly one of our biggest issues of the year. Very anticipated. And it's always fun. You know, I've been writing it for 20 years. I think I shared that few months ago. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're thinking, oh my gosh, like, you know, what am I going to say that's new? But every year I feel like I have more to say than there is space for. So that says a lot about Baltimore and the growth here, especially on the food scene.
100%. I feel like we as a food scene just continue to keep pushing the envelope, and it's exciting, and it's really great to give that recognition to all of these wonderful local businesses that are just doing such great things. I'm excited to see the reactions once our list is published.
Me too.
It's always so nice.
Me too.
So great time of year for that.
Sometimes I don't answer the phone for a while, but actually last night at work I decided to clear my messages. I had admittedly about 35, and I always get some that are really great.
Oh,
like,
man.
Someone from Pennsylvania asking me for a recommendation for a crab house in PA.
Oh, good.
In PA.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, wait, never mind. I heard that wrong.
Someone telling me that I used to write about hair salons. I don't know if you know that. A woman, this was a really old message, telling me that she had gone to every hair salon on the list and she wanted to thank me. There were like 30 of them.
Wait, that's incredible.
I know, and I thought that was great. I was sorry that I hadn't answered the phone.
Oh, talk about a service package.
Yeah, and sometimes people just want to call and talk to you about restaurants, which I think is really cool. It wouldn't occur to me to do that, to reach out to a food editor and say, hey, you know, can we talk? But sometimes I'll get special requests from people about, you know, where should I celebrate my birthday or a special occasion. So it's actually kind of fun. I should answer my phone more often.
I'm more of an email person, but, you know, it's always nice to hear feedback from readers. And I'm sure, you know, that all sounds really positive, but between Best Restaurants and Best of Baltimore, there also are some of those calls that you really just don't want to pick up the phone.
Yeah, we do our best, we swear.
That's right, that's right.
So what are your best bites?
Oh, man. Well, I know we mentioned Iron Age earlier in the show. I actually went there with a couple of friends. I have two friends who we went there a couple months ago, and I think they are trying to make it more of a routine thing. It is one of those. Yeah, so it's Korean barbecue. It's all you can eat. So it's one of those things you have to kind of like schedule for
it's like
every
a sport.
Yes, yeah. You can't go too often, or at least I can't go too often. But when you really, you know, the time goes by and you really start to crave it again, that's when it's really good.
So how does it work? Are there other things besides the barbecue to fill you up? Because usually they don't want you to really eat too much meat.
What else do they have? So they have the meats that are awesome. There's bulgogi. There's a special spice blend that they use on their steak that's really good. They call it the Iron Age steak. There's shrimp, there's octopus, there's chicken. Wow. The big rule is you have to wait to do chicken, or like chicken can't be mixed with the meats, so that has to be its own course. I think it's a health thing, probably.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so the side dishes, they bring out japchae, and they bring out kimchi, and they bring out, I wanted to talk about the spicy rice cakes.
Ooh.
So good. It's kind of like something that you really can't describe until you have it. It's this amazing spicy flavor. They're kind of chewy, lots of umami, like, it's just kind of like you put it in your mouth and you're like, wow,
you
what
eat it
did
on
I
its
just?
Own,
yep.
Mm-hmm, you do?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's funny because the word rice cake, like when we think of rice cakes in America, it's literally like chomping on air, you know?
Drywall.
Exactly. But these are just so, so good. And I think Iron Age, the service is always really good. If you ask for more of something, they bring it out very swiftly. So it's really fun. I think just like sitting in that space too.
I love those kinds of places.
Yeah. Like it's massive big screen TVs, and they have K-pop videos, music videos going. And
how much is it?
It's $23 plus tax.
That's cheap.
I know. I got the bill the last time and I was like, wait a minute, this is all this is? I think I forgot what the price was.
How long were you there?
I mean, it takes a while, so probably like 2 hours. Just because, you know, I was also with friends. We were talking.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. And also, if you have a birthday, they make you feel very, very, very special. My birthday is over, so I do not celebrate.
But yeah, thank God your birthday is over.
Exactly.
It went on for a long time.
It's way too long. But they bring out the whole staff, and they sing a special song. So it's definitely every time I've been there, there have been birthdays. So
it sounds super
fun.
Place to go with friends.
Yeah, sure. I really liked it. But what about your best bite?
Well, yeah, my best bite's very different than that. So I take the Ruxton Road exit when I'm coming home from work, and every day I'm lucky enough to pass a wonderful farm truck. It's the Misty Valley folks, who also have a farm stand at Falls and Shawan. So I fluctuate between the two. Gravitate between the two. But I have been buying Eastern Shore strawberries and just doing, they're little, they're not the giant genetically engineered pumped up strawberries that you get at the market or even Whole Foods. They're small, they're
the little
baby berries.
Ones. Yeah.
They're like candy. I've been putting them in salads with goat cheese and almonds. I've been putting them on vanilla ice cream with balsamic vinaigrette. Strangely, balsamic vinegar really brings out the sweetness in strawberries.
That sounds awesome.
And then also just on cheese plate, it goes so well. Like I said, goat cheese, any kind of sheep's milk cheese on a cracker with a little strawberry. this weekend I'm hoping to dip some in chocolate. And I make my own whipped cream, which is super easy when you have a KitchenAid. It just does all the hard work for you.
Yeah.
So I'm just in strawberry heaven this week. And, you know, they're cheaper at the farm stands than they are at the market.
Yeah.
They're picked that day usually. So they're wonderful.
Yeah, I love how one ingredient like that, like strawberries, can be used in so many different ways, even for home cooks, you know?
Yeah, it's fun. And I've been thinking, what else can I do? You know, strawberry jam.
Wow.
I've made jam before, but I don't have the whole, you know, sterilization process down.
Right.
So you kind of have to, it has a shelf life of, mm-hmm. you know, just a few days. You have to be careful with canning and jarring and all that. And I haven't ever tried to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. Yeah, you just boil the fruit down basically with a lot of sugar.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, come on down.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I have to come by for a strawberry. You can do like a full course strawberry, you know.
Well, actually, I did a whole lemon thing the other night.
Ooh.
I made it just by accident. I made a lemon vinaigrette for my salad. I had marinated chicken that I grilled in lemon and rosemary.
I love lemon chicken.
A few other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made lemon squares, and I realized that I had made an entire meal of lemons, yeah.
But that's the best. I feel like,
it
you
was
know,
fun.
Just using those seasonal
flavors.
Very summery. Flavors. Yes,
mm-hmm. Opened
yes.
up some white wine. I've been cooking a lot lately.
Oh, I love that. What a way to welcome the summer. That's beautiful. I feel like I have to dine at your house.
Sometime soon. We keep talking about
it. I know, considering the fact that I don't own cookbooks, my dinners are not as beautiful as those sound.
Ashanda, as we say in Yiddish.
What does that mean?
Ashanda?
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Ashanda.
Wow. Well, yes, it's definitely fitting in this situation. But thank you, everyone, so much for listening to another episode. You can pick up a copy of our June issue, our Faces of Pride issue, which is on newsstands now. Thank you so much, Dane. And you can also check out our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.